appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. I know it's a lot of fun for you guys to play and to worship that way, for us to listen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 4. Fourth chapter of the last book of the Bible. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to WMKT 1270 AM at 102.3 FM, and either signal, depending on where you are, can be a really good signal. And you're listening to the services of First Baptist Church of Petoskey. Although it doesn't say that, I guess, on the station's website, it says we're in Tennessee or something, which is kind of funny, but we're not. We're in Petoskey. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We're so glad that we're yours. We're so glad that we have a Bible that was designed for us, to meet our needs, to bless us, to give us peace when we're going through trials, to exhort us when we're a little too satisfied with ourselves. We thank you for a Bible that is mistake-free from beginning to end, for a Bible that is completely dependable in all matters of biology and physics, psychology, human nature, history. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this dependable word. Now help us to understand what you have put here for us to find and to be blessed by and to comfort our hearts with. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you have had a terrible vacation? I see a few hands. I know a few years ago, my Sharon's parents rented a cottage on a lake and got there, and everything was musty to the point of being wet, and you know, you couldn't hardly lie in the bed, you couldn't walk on the carpet without it going goose, 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 and it's a hard place to spend a week, hey? Does anybody want to share, popcorn style, one phrase, what was wrong with your vacation?
7 days, 6 of them
rain. 7 days, 6 of them rain, yes. I have seen that before. We saw that in the UP a couple of times, over there in West End. I love to go to Wakefield, but sometimes it doesn't let up. Somebody else. What was totaled? Your motorhome was totaled on the first day, yes. Yeah. I remember my friend was at Steelcase, was going on a vacation with his wife on his motorcycle and, put it down on the freeway in an accident about 3 hours out. It's hard to go on a vacation and wait all year long and then go to a terrible experience, isn't it? Sharon and I, we went on vacation and it rained the whole time. But then finally it was time to go into the cabin on Lake Superior. About a mile and a half walk in with two children, Guinevere and Jake. And it had been raining all week. It was still raining, and so we're going to have to carry our bedding and our pillows and food and all that stuff in an hour, a mile and a half to the rugged old cabin. And so we showed up at the office and said, we're here for our vacation. They said, we already booked it with somebody else. There was a mistake. And we said, thank goodness. Because we never would have been able to dry out the bedding at that time. So we went back to that halfway through the UP and over by Grand Island, and we saw Sharon and my friends. And so I broke a tooth and Sharon broke her elbow, and so we came home. Yeah. There is a lot of vacations are so good. I know a friend of ours that you know, and the dad got all the kids in the car and said, we're going to Florida. And so they drove 24 hours straight through to Florida. He was from the UP, and he got out of the car and looked around and said, get back in the car. They drove back to UP 24 hours. Yeah, the destination was not worth the anticipation or the travel. You know, Sharon and I have always wanted to go see some sights out west, but I will have to be reincarnated or find another wife or something, because this woman cannot sit in the car. So it's got to really be worth it. And hey, if you can look at it online and see a pretty picture, it's just as good as being there, hey? So why sit in the car for 15 hours one way? Why go through all the difficulty of the Christian life? Why be faithful? Why hold fast? This book of Revelation is God's answer to that. And it's not going to be a vacation for us so much as it will be the land of Canaan. Now we are free to rest, but as we rest, we will work in what God has done. We will have labors, but they will be fulfilling labors. We will have fellowship, but there will be no fighting, of course, or anything like that. So this vision of heaven. But well, actually, he begins the book, doesn't he, with a vision of Jesus. Jesus is much more than you thought, and he's much more than you realized. He is God. And then he has messages from Jesus to the churches. And then he has this vision of heaven. What will happen next? What happens when we get to heaven? You know, is it going to be hot and sweltering like Florida was for the UP folk? Or is it going to be rain every day, you know, like it was for Beth and for us? Or what's going to be? Well, let's go ahead, Revelation chapter 4, and we will see a few things. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, which was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. And so, come up here. He's going to be carried away into heaven. There's a name for that, and you know it. It is called the rapture. Harpazo, if you will. And so we have the messages to the churches in the church age, and then the rapture and the resurrection, and then this event in heaven. When you and I die, we don't go to heaven, we go to paradise, which is a different thing. And so when we are then come back to get our bodies, which are resurrected, then we will be taken to heaven, to Uranus, to this place. Several people in the Bible were raptured, you know. Look at verse, if you want to, Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. And when Philip and the eunuch came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, harpazo. It raptured Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. You know that Enoch was raptured, that Elijah was raptured, and that Jesus was raptured. And so that is what is next for us, is the rapture, which is in a picture here. And so verse 1, come up here and I will show you the things which might take place after this, which we hope will take place after this. That's not what John said, is it? I will show you the things which must take place after this, which are going to take place after this. This is a guarantee. God has promised it and he cannot lie. If God lies, he defies his own nature, and he ceases to exist. And so, that must happen. Chapter 4, verse 2, immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, I saw a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. You might have different translations of this. We're not real sure what a jasper was, and people argue about what a sardius stone is. I've seen that translated two or three different times. Some people think it's a diamond, some people, I saw there was other translations of this. And so, but what's the point? The point is that he looks like a clear gem. He's not invisible. He's translucent. God is translucent, not transparent, or he'd be invisible. You can see through him like colored glass. But he is two colors, jasper and sardius, whatever that is. And of course, he has a twin nature that is his glory. He is full of truth and grace. And so here is pictured for us the God who is beautiful, who is clear, pure, if you will. There are no impurities in God, and shining with his glory. And there was a rainbow around the throne, an appearance like an emerald. Rainbow, of course, speaks of grace, withheld judgment. But it's an emerald rainbow. It is green, and so it betokens life. There is a grace which leads to life. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders. They're older. They've been there a while. Sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now, as I worked through this for many years, it's pretty obvious. 24 is 2 times 12. And so you have the 12 heads of the tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. You have Israel and the church here. And so they are seated on thrones. And they have crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. That's interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. It kind of reminds you, though, of Exodus 20. Maybe I'll just take you there. We'll read that real quickly to remind you of it. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 18, just after the Ten Commandments are given in the people's presence, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And so here's the same sort of things going on. In heaven, around the throne, is lightning, thunder, and voices. Chapter 4 and verse 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Now, again, this is, I don't want to spend all of my time on details, and especially if you've heard me describe what's happening here before, if you've studied it yourself. But both the 7 lamps of fire and the laver are pictures of the Holy Spirit. And in the laver, the Old Testament laver in the tabernacle, the priests would cleanse themselves after the sacrifices. And so the Holy Spirit cleanses us. But then after we are cleansed, then the Holy Spirit performs 7 ministries in us. And if you try to make that list, it can be kind of tough to say, what should I include? What do I not include? Because I don't want to, you know, you could make a list of 30 things that the Holy Spirit does for us, but which are the 7 intended? So let's go real quickly to the book of John, and we'll see some of the things that I think that he intended us to read about. And it is fascinating that all of these things are in John. And so John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," when they're physically born, I think, or it is a picture of the Old Testament picture of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is pictured by water all through the Old Testament. "And the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And then if we come to chapter 4 and verse 14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This is something that the 24 elders have done. This is something that you and I will have done if we are there. If we have never asked God to forgive us, if we've never asked God to give us a new heart based on the works of Jesus, his Son, then we will not be there. But if we have, then we will be, if God sees our hearts of why we asked and what we meant. Then the Holy Spirit does some other things for us and in us. John chapter 16. "16:8. And when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." And so the Holy Spirit convicts all men of sin. He convicted you and me of sin, or we never would have been born again. But he convicts me of sin today. He says to me and you, Casey, or fill in your own name, "Are you sure you should have done that? Are you sure you needed that? Are you sure I couldn't have made it up to you some other way? Are you sure that was the best thing to say?" And you can't sin. A Christian cannot sin without hearing that. We can squelch it, but we will hear it. Then the Holy Spirit teaches us, John chapter 16, verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me and teach you about me, because he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." And so the Holy Spirit teaches us all the various things that we need. And if the Holy Spirit is in us and we are born again, when we come to the Word, we can understand it. If we work at it and have some help, maybe, but we can understand it and apply it to our lives. John chapter 14. let's see here. I didn't write down the verse. I know what's in here, hey. Verse 26, "But the Helper," or the Comforter, or the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you." The Holy Spirit stands with us and comforts us and exhorts us at times and says, "Hey, you are a child of God. You do belong to him. He does care about you." Then the Holy Spirit, of course, we saw, testifies of Jesus, John 15, 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, of Jesus. And you also will bear witness because he's in you. And then there are fruit, John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Well, if we've read Galatians chapter 5, we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's joy, peace, love, hope, those other things. And so he said, we have peace because the Spirit comforts us and teaches us who Jesus is, who God is. We have joy because we have all that we need in him. And so we have the fruit of the Spirit. But because we have the fruit of the Spirit, as we live those things out, that is called the gifts of the Spirit. If we're taught by the Spirit and we teach others, that's a spiritual gift. If we are comforted by the Spirit and we comforted others, that's called the gift of helps or of comforting. And so we have all of the gifts and all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, John 21:22, the Holy Spirit leads us and Jesus says, follow me. Now, I want us to think a second. The Holy Spirit has been in your life if you are his. But the Holy Spirit has to keep wrestling with you because of your desires and your fears. The Holy Spirit pleads with you to do this and to do that, to not do this and to not do that. Sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses because we are always people of free will. But when we get to heaven, we will have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives without any sin at all. You understand that the Holy Spirit will be able to give us peace as we've never had before. Will be able to give us joy as we've never experienced before. I've had some joyful moments. I've had some peaceful moments. I remember at my old friend Ray, the pastor's funeral up there in the UP. We had 50 pastors and we sang the songs that Ray would have liked, and all of them knew Ray way better than I did. And so we sang the songs, and that little church rocked with the singing because of those 50 pastors. Probably 40 of them were musically inclined, but all of them had gusto. That was a precious moment in my memory. And so when we get to heaven and we sing, it will be with gusto. It won't be a fear of the next person listening to us or fear of someone criticizing what we sang or didn't sing. It will be with enthusiasm because there will be no fear. There will be no anger. We won't be saying, well, yeah, but God did this to me and God did that to me. We'll be all done with that sort of thing. So that the time that when we get to heaven, that will be the most spiritual time in the history of mankind. We will dream dreams and see visions. We will all have the gift of tongues. I can't learn 1,000 different languages or 5,000 different languages. But if God gives us the gift of tongues, which everyone had in Acts chapter 2, and 8 and 10 and 19, then we will all be able to speak with each other all the time and be able to sing together, though we don't know the other guy's language, we'll be singing together. And so I want us to get a concept of the wonderful blessing of, and there's so much more here in Revelation than just a statement of doctrine or fact. Revelation is saying to us, and everything in your life will be completed and fulfilled in heaven. If God is working with you on how to teach or how to witness or how to share with each other, how to give, whatever it is, that will be fulfilled there. You will be the ultimate you, because the Holy Spirit will be in you ultimately, which is a good thing. Well, let's look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. That's the second time it said that. What's that mean? That again is, I think, a reference to the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere and sees everything. And so these are spirit-filled living creatures. Why does it call them creatures? That's an odd thing to call these mighty angels living creatures. John wants to remind us, and God wants to remind us, that these are created beings. They are not eternal beings. They are created just like us. That the one who sits on the throne, though he's quiet, is much more mightier than these four living creatures, although these are mighty creatures. The four living creatures, each having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy," "Holy, holy, holy." They're great living creatures. "Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come." They are mighty living creatures. So what are they about? Well, you notice they have four aspects. Verse 7, there's a lion. The lion is the king of the beasts, and Jesus was a king. The second living creature was like a calf. A calf is a servant of men. It meets men's needs. It draws their wagons. It feeds them. It does the things that they need. The third living creature had a face like a man. Jesus was not just a king or a servant, but he was not just God. He was also a man, the carpenter. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle, a heavenly creature. He was, though, God. And that is what John is trying to present to them here in this book, particularly, that Jesus is God. Now you realize that these are the four Gospels, the four stories of Jesus. Matthew the king, Mark the servant, Luke the brother, and John the God. And so they're rejoicing, they're proclaiming that Jesus is the servant king, and he is the God-man. Other kings said that they were these things. Other kings wanted people to think that they were on their side. But no other king died for his people like Jesus did. No other king centered all of his decisions around the good of his people like Jesus does. Excuse me. Many have said that they were God. Of course, Pharaoh and then all the emperors of Rome, after they died, they're God. Remember that was what was cried of Herod, the voice of a God and not of man. But no other king has been God in the flesh. God who has come and been a human. And so the mighty creatures proclaim that Jesus, whom we'll meet in the next chapter, that Jesus is the servant, the king, the brother, and the God who meets completely and fully all of our needs in heaven. He'll meet them now if we'll let Him, if we will draw close to Him. We can get through some terrible stuff if we'll just draw close to Him, but we're so busy and afraid and filled with our own desires and angers. But then we will not have that. And so He will meet our at need of security. We will have a great King who cannot be thwarted, who opens doors and no one shuts, who sits upon the throne of heaven, who has brought us to this utterly impregnable place. No one is ever going to drop a nuclear bomb on heaven. No one is ever going to be a terrorist in heaven. They can't find it, they can't see it, they don't know where it is, they can't reach it. There is no threat or danger there. He will meet their need of worth. You were chosen. You were accounted worthy of Jesus helping. You were the person that Jesus wanted to be the brother to. Not just me, and not just pastors, and not just leaders. You were accounted worthy of Jesus helping. We all need a family. If we don't have a family, we're messed up. Even a hermit has a family with the chickens and the squirrels and the rabbits and stuff. Even a hermit has a family. But there in heaven, when we get there, we will have a brother and a dad. We all need to worship something. Everybody in America worships someone. We worship the stars. We worship baseball players. When Mickey Mantle died, I saw all the headlines said, Mickey Mantle, hero, died. Well, that's an odd thing to say because he was bumped ahead of a whole bunch of other people to get a liver transplant for his cancer, and then he died a week later anyhow. He took someone else's life because he wanted to go to the top of the list, and he didn't know who God was. Didn't have Jesus in his life, I guess. He's not a hero at all. But we worship the sports stars. They can do no wrong. We listen to TV stars and movie stars as though they know something that we don't. We listen to evil people who are pretty or handsome. And we think that they have wisdom. They don't know as much about life as I do, or as you do. But then we will have the giant captain of our salvation. We will have the final fulfillment of all the blessings of the Christian life. We will have sinless hearts and minds that can understand the Bible completely. We will have prayer. We will have face-to-face with God prayer. We will have perfect fellowship, no sin or pride to get in our way. And we will have perfect peace. There are no bills in heaven. There are no doctor's exams in heaven. There will be some doctors, but no exams, no reports. There will be nothing and no one to fear in heaven. Now, we've only finished half of the first message. I was hoping to get through the second message today, but we're not going to do it. Next week, we will continue and see what other wonderful things God has for us at the end of the road, in that glorious time when we're with Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us and for opening up this picture of our reward, of that great and glorious day when we see You on Your throne, when we have the beginning of eternity, when we have received our perfect, youthful, sinless bodies, and we will have been cleansed of all sin, and we'll remember what grace is, we'll remember what sin was, but we will have clean hearts. Heavenly Father, help us to get through this week and the next week, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who has all that we need and who is all that we need. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.